Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what kind of emotional boost was that from Maryland after the loss to Northwestern? What does that do for those young? It's a young team. What does it do for those guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really enormous for them, you know, for a few reasons, first of which being, you know, they had lost 8 games in a row from between last season and the first game of this season, all of them Big Ten games. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about they're not going to win a game all season and 20-point underdogs in that game. And, you know, at the stage of the rebuilding process where they are right now, they really need something to build confidence, you know, something, even if it's not a marquee win, any Big Ten win, especially a big upset or a big comeback like that, is something you kind of build on and look back on later on during the growth periods of the process. So for those reasons, it's a really big, it was a really big win for them.
All right, so now let's go. It's an odd game, though. They jumped out of the gate beautifully on offense, 21 points. Then did nothing in the second and third quarter, yeah, scoring-wise. And then in the fourth quarter, remembered what they did in the first quarter. So let's talk about Tulia Tagovailoa. He's the transfer from Alabama. Mike mm-hmm. knows him because Mike coached him the whole deal, whatever, okay?
Right.
What has he brought to the table that they really needed?
Better quarterback play would be the most. It sounds extremely obvious, but they have not had good quarterback play in a while. You know, it's really been a perennial issue with the program. And, you know, the first game he really struggled at Northwestern through 3 interceptions. Everybody's saying this kid is only well known because of his last name and things like that, but you saw what he could do. I mean, he was dropping balls right into receivers' hands, you know, really impressive throws. He showed off his running ability, had a 39-yard touchdown run, scrambled to throw really well on the run too. So for the first time in a long time, you know, there's really reason for hope that they've got their, so, you know, quote unquote franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference. Also, a healthy Jake Funk helps as well. I mean, he's coming off the ACL. He's a running back I've always liked Jeff very much. It just, you know, injuries have derailed him.
Yeah, they have, and he's in the best shape of his career, Steve. He's noticeably bigger, faster, more explosive. I don't think anybody really ever saw him as a guy who was going to run for 200 yards in a Big Ten game. But, you know, here we are, the other running backs they've had in the past, like the established kind of stars, Anthony McFarland, Javon Leak, and then before them, Ty Johnson, who's in the NFL himself. Those guys are gone. So for the first time, they've had to go to, you know, promoting a program guy, so to speak, into that role. And he's taken it and run with it, no pun intended. I mean, he's looked really good. The offensive line has also done a really good job of clearing holes. He had some big holes to run through against Minnesota, but, you know, against Penn State, obviously, it's going to be a much bigger task, you know, and which will be interesting for him because he's got a lot of Penn State. I think his father played at Penn State. So.
Yeah, so I've got to ask you about the defensive part of it. Now, Campbell, I think, is a terrific player. Right. He is a terrific player. Nick Cross is a terrific player. I think Lautez Rogers is really good. But they play 2 games now. They don't have a takeaway. In fact, not only do they not have a takeaway, they don't even have a forced fumble where the other team recovered it. It's really odd. What do you think of their defense so far?
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of a pass rush. They haven't been getting to the quarterback at all, and, you know, that's where you – whether it's a fumble or you're forcing him into a bad throw for an interception, that's where a lot of turnovers happen, and they just haven't had that pass rush yet. It was expected to be an issue coming into the season, and then they lost their best pass rusher, Darrell Chami. Yeah. I think he'll be back, but it won't be this week, so that made them even weaker there. So I think that's a big part of it, and just, you know, it's a rebuilding defense. They're still, you know, put plainly, they're just not very good. They're giving up the most rushing yards in the Big Ten right now. So it's just a symptom of the defense just needing to be upgraded overall.
You know, I watched the game, though, on Friday night, and in watching it, I felt like Minnesota got to a point where they were trying to protect.
Yeah.
And I thought that made Maryland's defense better because they were trying to protect. What did you think?
No, that's absolutely right. PJ Fleck went into his shell in the fourth quarter. You know, running the ball had worked for him, and he wanted to milk the clock, obviously, as anybody would, up 17 points. But then he refused to go away from it, mix in. Honestly, I think if he mixes in a few play action passes anywhere in those three straight drives where Maryland stopped them, then they probably win the game. Maryland held them to one first down and 11 rushing yards in the quarter after they had rushed for 200 plus yards in the first three. So he definitely aided Maryland's comeback. There's no question about that.
This has also been a program that, not so much on offense, because Tungavaiola obviously is a transfer, but for the most part on defense, there's one either JC or a transfer after another on that defense. How important has that route been?
That was really important for them this year. You know, when Loxley got there, there wasn't a ton of top-level talent, and then he let a lot of guys walk who didn't fit the culture or maybe weren't good enough. So, you know, in football, as you know, it takes a long time to rebuild with freshmen, so if you can get a few grown men in there, especially at positions like on the defensive line and offensive line, which is where almost all of those junior college guys are, then that can help. None of them are necessarily stars, but several of them are starting, and they have three linemen, one offensive lineman, and then two defensive linemen who are starting who came from junior colleges. So that's kind of just something to, you know, fill those gaps as you recruit more and bring more freshmen up through the program.
All right, Johnny Petrino. He had not kicked one in a game longer than 40. I mean, in terms of making. He had not made the longest field goal he made in his career going into the game was 40. And then all of a sudden he popped a 51-yarder. Not only that, Jeff, with something to spare. When Lox talked about it after the game, what did he say about that, and what kind of practice kicker has he been?
Yeah, the funny thing is that he actually had not. So his freshman year he made 12 of 14. I think his first 11, he was the last kicker in the country to miss a field goal. And then last year he had a groin injury, and the team just wasn't getting into the red zone much. And when they did, they were desperate for touchdowns. So last year he went 2 for 5 and didn't make one until the seventh week of the season, which was the latest of any kicker in the country, any team in the country to make a field goal. And then, you know, he comes out, makes the 51 at the end of the first half. He also attempted another 51 yarder that had plenty of distance, but hit off the upright. So Loxley, I think, feels really good about him. You know, he looked really good as a freshman. Last year was a little bit fluky, but, you know, I think he's probably the best kicker that they've had in several years. Kind of guy you can put out there from anywhere up to 52 or 53 and feel like you have a decent shot of making it, which, you know, obviously is huge for any college team with the way a lot of these kickers struggle.
All right. What's your thought? I know Penn State's 0-2, but what's your thought on Penn State? What does this game mean to Maryland? I mean, you know, for Penn State, they're trying to break through, so the game has a lot of meaning, but what does it mean for Maryland?
For Maryland, I think it's, you know, you got to be competitive, build off of last week. That might not necessarily mean a win, but at least it would mean not getting blown out. You know, they haven't even scored a touchdown in the last three games against Penn State, which is pretty incredible. So I think for them, it's kind of showing that they're still progressing, and not that last week was a fluke against a, you know, not very good team, not getting beat by 25, like the point spread says. You know, just showing progression is really what it's all about at this point. Obviously, they'd love to win, but, you know, just don't get blown out by Penn State as you have seemingly every year lately.
Okay, why, you know, I know the Minnesota defense, as we saw with Michigan, all right, is obviously not very good.
Yeah.
All right. They're not, the evidence is what Michigan State did defensively to Michigan shows that. But what was the biggest difference for Tungavaiola between that 3-interception 94-yard performance and the 394 performance?
Yeah. I think part of it was that the first one was his first college start ever. It's on the road under the lights, which is tough. You know, he didn't have much experience at all. And then he starts off once, you know, he had that pick, and then things just kind of went downhill from there. He was forcing it into double coverage, and Northwestern's a much better team. Minnesota's defensive line and defense are pretty slow. So that helped too. But I think some of it was just getting his feet wet, having a week to kind of digest and work on things. You know, he's not going to be the 390 yard passer and with five touchdowns every week, but he's also obviously not the guy who you saw at Northwestern. That's why this weekend's going to be really interesting to see what he can do against a better team.
I have to ask you about Brian Cobbs, whose father played on the national championship, started and played and picked off a pass in the national championship game against Miami and made one of the biggest plays that season when he stopped a two-point conversion by Maryland with 14 seconds to go. So how well has Brian Cobbs progressed?
He really has. You know, he was quiet early in his career. He's gotten a lot bigger and stronger. I mean, he's noticeably – Maryland has some pretty tall wide receivers. He's probably the thickest out of them, though. Good hands. He's made several nice plays so far this season. So, you know, he's a guy they lean on among a really good group of receivers. I think it's probably their deepest position. So he's not going to be your top threat or your number two threat, but he's a solid. I think he'll be contributing all season.
No question. Jeff, what an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the great information. Great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me.